Greetings, ladies and gentlemen. It's Friday, and on Friday, we think about what really matters on the What It Takes Radio Network.
The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Jineos Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
I have a provocative question. Do you really know what your plan is? Well, we're going to talk about that today on the What Really Matters podcast. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters. And this is your host, Peter McClellan. Always a pleasure to speak with the listening audience, whoever they may be. And today I'm especially privileged to have with us not Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management, but Tim McCain, who is the person in charge of business development with Strategic Equity Management. So Tim, first of all, welcome back. It's been a long time since we've had you on the podcast. So tell us, you know, you deal with a lot of reps out there, you know, people in my position that you guys would classify as your clients, your reps to some extent, the people you work with. What are some of the things you're seeing out there that makes you question if either the reps know what the plan is or if the end users, the actual investors, know what their plan is?
Right. Yeah. Well, thanks for having me back. You're right. It's been quite a while. So
it has.
Glad to be part of the show. And when I think about your question regarding the overall plan and what the advisors are doing, I think what's ended up happening through time is that, us as financial advisors, we tend to use all these complicated terms.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. We get into jargon. It's true.
The jargon of the industry, just like you're a plumber, there's jargon within the plumber industry. And along with that, though, I think, one of the things that advisors, the successful advisory firms that I work with across the country, have really done is made sure that they've been able to very easily in a sequential process be able to explain what the client's plan is.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
And I would put you into that camp, Peter. I think you do a great job of working with your clients in the plan. However, from that perspective, it doesn't need to be this complicated, 40, 50 page plan.
Mm-mm. No, I agree.
It kind of starts with the foundation we always tell, you work with your clients and your advisors about debt.
Yep.
And getting debt under control. And that's a sequential process. Mm. And then from there, being able to create those emergency funds for, this week, while being out on the road, I got a wonderful call from my wife, and she said, we got a $2,200 car repair bill.
Ouch.
Ouch, yes, from the perspective of nobody likes to have to pay that yet, because we've created that emergency fund and the margin there. Yeah, it hurt, but it's not something where I need to go take a withdrawal from my 401k plan.
Right. And yet a lot of people, because they don't follow a basic plan, they get in a pinch and they wind up, can't we just take the money from the IRA or the 401k? No, not if you're, especially if you're not 59 and a half or older. But yet there's a need for planning. There's also a need, I think, for perspective. And Tim, what are the things you see regarding, when the market's really rallying, hitting all-time highs? I know what you're going to say, but for our listeners, what are some of the things that you think of or hear that might cause you to think that even if people know what their plan is, they might get a little bit of amnesia temporarily when they see the market booming? Why is that?
Well, I think it's a couple of different things. I think that the plan itself has been too complicated, and they don't understand what role all the various pieces are within the plan. The portfolio design, the protection side, if that's needed, things like that.
Right.
And really those key risks. So what ends up happening is, and they become through the investor behavior biases that I know you and Jeff have discussed on previous shows, mm-hmm. is they end up saying, well, my portfolio didn't keep up with the S&P 500, right? Or the NASDAQ or whatever it is. And the reality of the situation is most advisors that are doing the plan, it was never designed to do that. You know, it was never designed to do that, and it, based on their risk tolerance and their objectives.
Right. And for many, I can attest to that. A lot of people who became more familiar with active money management did so after the bear market. They found out what being in something that wasn't fitting for them was all about after 2008, beginning of 2009. That was a very painful time for people, myself included. For everybody, it was. Sure. But at that time, people realized this isn't fun anymore. I had one guy say, yeah, that's when I realized we had to do something different. This wasn't fun anymore. And then the market has a bit of a tear, as it has. It's gone up dramatically over the past 8 years, 9 years. Well, 8 years. And yet, there seems to be a bit of amnesia that the fact that, well, at some point the market's going to correct again. Are we going to do the same thing? Get real aggressive near the top, go all in equities somewhere near the top, only to come back out after we have to relearn the lesson that we don't want to have an all equity, all portfolio that's going to be all similar to the S&P 500, whatever index you're measuring it by. That's a real problem. It absolutely is, because you know things do have a way of turning around. The market will correct and it'll go back up at some point. But I think the sucker punch here is that people. I think they just start to think they're missing out if they're not getting the full extent of what the market's offering them. I think the one that Jeff's always camped on too is that they say they'll know when to get out next time. And I'm realizing, No, they haven't invented a crystal ball that's going to tell you when to get out. How are you going to know when to get out? That's, you know, no.
And I totally agree with you. I mean, one of the things that I think advisors, as they're doing the plan, is to really help the client understand what role that investment is playing.
Right.
Quick story. I'm on the road. I'm meeting with the client that's been with us, started working with us right around the middle of the bear market of 2008. Meet with the client. The client gets absolutely slaughtered, you know, in the portfolio they were in. Advisor does the plan. It's a new client for him. Does mm-hmm. the plan, runs through the risk tolerance, runs through the objective, mm-hmm. Identifies what role SEM is going to play in that portfolio. And the client says, you know what, if you could get me a very modest rate of return, mm-hmm. you know, obviously past performance doesn't guarantee future results and you're investing in the market, we get all that, I'll be a client of yours for life. Literally. That's what he said.
Wow.
So this same client just 2 weeks ago was in the advisor's office meeting with the client, and the client had said, I am really, really, really unhappy with my performance. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I pulled and looked at everything. Risk tolerance and objective hasn't changed. And the design of what we added into the portfolio and the other things, he was right on track with his plan. Meaning he's right where he should have been. So okay. I'd asked him the question. I said, well, what are you unhappy with? He said, well, my portfolio didn't even come close to doing what the S&P 500 did last year. Mm-hmm. I said, let me take you back to 2009 when I was in the office. And went through the whole story, and perfect example of the investor behavior bias, right? I'm not keeping up with the Joneses.
Sure.
The herding mentality. And after we explained that and I explained what role we're playing in the plan, mm-hmm. he actually apologized to the advisor.
No, that's good. That's good.
Yeah. So, you know, the perspective piece of that, of what we're doing You know, I think we try to make things, some advisors try to make it too complicated, and this is the role and these are the key risks we're trying to take off the table. And I get it. You know, the portfolio, at least from a risk return perspective, has got to deliver over a full market cycle what we're trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right. You know, all of a sudden, a client that wanted those modest, you know, and it was designed the plan to have those modest types of returns, now all of a sudden, you know, is looking for much greater returns than what he needed.
Oh, I know. And I remember back in the day too, when it was so scary, I would just begin to scratch the surface with, you know, explaining what role active could play in terms of playing defense and what type of portfolio it would be and what you might expect going forward, you know, at least a range of returns. And people say, you mean we might earn 4%, 5%, 6% and not have to suffer a 50% loss? Sign me up. You know, they couldn't wait to do that. That was like unbelievable. And I'd have to slow them down and say, no, you sure you understand? Oh, yeah. Okay. So, but you go forward, like you say, then it creeps back in. We got to get better returns. And yet, you know, and that's why I think realistically, it's so good to make sure that we're all doing the right thing for the right reason. And, you know, I think this can happen in any profession where you're called upon to perform a certain duty. And yet when there's differing objectives or the objectives that haven't changed, but they have in a person's mind, not on paper, not communicated, that's problematic. And I'm all in favor of people changing their risk tolerance if that's really fitting for them. If that's, you know, in their heart of hearts, their situation is different. Maybe their business is doing well, their career is doing much better, they're out of debt, they're saving for their future. They view a crisis when the market corrects again as a buying opportunity. Well, great, absolutely, go ahead. You know, to take on more risk. But for the person who's really only just trying to keep up with the Joneses, I have to say, be careful. You say you want all of what the S&P is doing. If you were to sit in our office, you know, at the end of beginning of March of 2009, and we look back to October of 2007, I don't think many people were wanting what the market had to deliver at that point. It was, sure, you know, over a 50% loss. I'm not trying to be funny with that. I just think that it, you know, it's one of those things. It's human nature to gripe a little bit, but it's also human nature to kind of forget what are we trying to accomplish, you know, really.
So. Well, and that's the big key right there, I believe, you know, when you think about it, because what we've found, you know, in providing the, you know, our services for over 25 years is, you know, a plan's real simple, right? We summarize the client's current, you know, their present situation. And then we establish those goals and objectives, you know, as a second piece. We increase their cash flow margin. And then lastly, we control the cash flow.
Yep.
Meaning, you know, so they can take the income. Very simple, four steps, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not necessarily all that easy.
Right.
But the problem is that, okay, if an advisor designs a perfect plan for a client, right, and everything's on course from the key risk that they're trying to take off the table, and that risk objective for the portfolio does not match up, like you were just saying, a client that really was a moderate investor, and now they're wanting to keep up with the Joneses.
Yep.
What we've found, and there's statistical support that supports this, is that once that client reaches that loss level,
right,
it doesn't matter what type of plan you put in place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it doesn't matter how you know, how much growth they would have enjoyed on a, you know, in a portfolio that would be going up when the market's up. If it's when it's going down that they don't want any part of it. It's true. It absolutely is true.
Right.
Well, it's against human nature. We're certainly not bashing people that work with us in our industry. We're here to say that you know, we believe wholeheartedly in the fact that most people benefit from having an advisor that really takes the time to hear them and understand what they're trying to accomplish. So there isn't as much room for the disappointment. If you don't set unrealistic expectations, you're not gonna be as inclined to, you know, throw the baby out with the bathwater when you have a storm. So anyway,
right.
But yeah, it's good to hear that, Tim. I realize that this is something that goes on all over the country, you know, the all over the world for that matter. You know, it's good just to remind people, what's your plan? When are you going to be retiring? If you are retired, how much income do you need? What's your objective with the money? What are we trying to accomplish? How's the cash flow working? So it's true. It's
exactly.
All of that fits. It all fits so beautifully. So anyway, well, at the 401k Latte Company, you know, we do work quite a bit with strategic equity management. We value the type of defense that they play as well as offense. And we remind people, Tim, and I'll just say thanks for joining me today. And we say to our clients, as our tagline says, invest in a conversation. And we want to encourage you, do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.